Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? And we have another great show today.
Yes, we do, Neil. We're going to be talking with our resident expert on the Corona 19 problem. Mark Hayden, Dr. Hayden, is a scientific investigator and a frontline provider for the COVID problem. And we've done, I don't know, 7, 8 programs previously. In addition to listening to this one, I would advise you to go back and listen to all the other ones because you're going to get information that for or has been in some way censored or in what other people, including Big Pharma, wants to do. And so today, Dr. Hayden is going to talk with us about rapid tests. Mark, it's good to have you on the program today.
It's great to be here with you, Wynn, in the new year.
Thank you. The real power of rapid antigen tests is exploiting the simplicity and making them available to the public. This combination, people plus rapid test, provides the means to help stop the outbreak. If half the population tested themselves twice a week, eminently doable with rapid antigen test with PCR, people would find out that their positive status in time to stop unwitting spread to others. So, with that introduction, give us a little insight into specificity and difference in the test, difference in the time it takes, and how getting a rapid test done at home could make a significant impact in this problem.
The COVID asymptomatic phase, when without symptoms, most of the spreading goes on there. So before a person has symptoms, based on the possibility of their exposure, the only way to keep them from spreading is to really either wear an N95 mask, which is extremely uncomfortable and really not practical for people during ordinary social interactions, or it's to isolate them. We know what isolation is, and we know that's not pleasant. Know its economic impact. The other thing is the degree in which you could control this epidemic is largely due to how transmissible it is. There are 7 billion people on the earth. I didn't measure myself, but about that many. The more transmissible the virus becomes, the more people would have to have immunity to stop its spread. The current intramuscular vaccines do not claim, nor have they been proven, to stop the transmission. What that means in plain English is, it is likely that the listeners will get SARS-CoV-2 virus or a mutant strain of it on their mouth. And is there an advantage? What can they do? They can find out about it with a rapid test. The rapid test allows you to know at the time in which you're positive, within 15 minutes. If you're positive, there is something you can do. And here's what it is. If you understand that your intestinal immunity is the best defense to prevent the transmission and to prevent the development of disease, then the logical path is, if it's already in your mouth, is to get it to your intestines as fast as possible. And that can be done. You can take your saliva, you can put it in an enteric-coated capsule, and you can begin to wash it down with cold water. The sooner you get that virus to your small intestine, the more rapid your intestines will begin to mount an intestinal mucosal defense. And a mucosal defense that stops transmission will help stop the transmission to other people. So getting an intestinal defense is essential for reducing not only the symptoms of the infected person, but preventing them from spreading any more as soon as the antibodies can show up in the lungs. So in this disease, we have done PCR testing for at least 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. The PCR testing actually took days to get back. And in some days, I'm the PCR that I'm familiar with takes up to 4 and 5 days. By then, the virus is already spread. Even with vaccination into the muscle, guess what? The person is still transmissible unless they wanted to wear N95 mask and be around no one. So really understanding that the best defense is an intestinal defense and getting it to your intestines stops transmission faster than any other method. As well as getting it to your intestines can create the best antibody defense to prevent severity of illness. So intestinal inoculation is and has been the solution for this.
And that's interesting, but like by being able to know that when you're asymptomatic, that basically that you're already have COVID by taking these rapid tests really can stop the spread before it gets severe and serious.
Yes, but that problem is actually getting more difficult because you've heard of the South African strain or whatever it is. These are more transmissible variants. So they are probably spreading larger viral load in the asymptomatic period before they have their first symptom. So unless you're testing everybody very fast with PCR, you are not going to be able to do that. Now, it's true that if you look at the numbers, if you look at the Chinese numbers of infections, the Chinese had a massive PCR testing where, particularly at an airport, everybody who gets off the plane is tested with PCR. They are very tight. They are very sensitive. We don't have those type of resources in the West, in the US and Europe, nor are those resources available in Africa, in South America. And so you can assume that that virus is going to circulate throughout South America, Africa, and become even a more transmissible variant. So what we considered a more transmissible variant today from South Africa will probably be replaced by even faster spread virus 2 or 3 months from now that is from the coronavirus 2 strain. So what you get into it, it becomes more and more difficult to prevent the strain. Now, the new mantra of the Biden administration is going to be test, test, test. And so $8 to $10 billion of U.S. Government money will be available to do the rapid testing. And that will be considered essential for trying to stop the spread. However, that $8 to $10 billion is going to be spent in the United States. That is not going to stop the spread abroad. We should expect that more transmissible variants will occur. And we should also anticipate that what can somebody do once they know they've got it? And so really, test, test, test. And as soon as if you have it on your mouth, if you have an infection in your mouth, that can grow in both your intestines and, unsadly, grows in your lungs where it causes great damage. The best thing you can do is to inoculate your stomach.
So, well, Mark, we've talked about inoculation in previous talks, and they can go back and catch up on that. But if, for whatever reason, they decide not to do that, then the only alternative after a positive rapid test is to isolate at home so that you're not spreading it in the community. Is that right?
That's very much correct. And they can wear the N95, which are very, very uncomfortable. So, yes, that's pretty much it.
Well, we know that people are not going to wear the N95 mask because they won't even wear face coverings to a large extent.
You're exactly right.
So you said that there should be money available to provide these rapid tests. And what I understand is that people could take the test home with them, test themselves twice a week or whatever, and find out immediately whether or not they're positive and whether or not they need to stay at home.
That type of program would greatly diminish the transmission rate. That is correct.
Okay.
However,
get that program going. Is the new administration going to shell out $8 to $10 billion to get it going, or are they just going to sit back and wait?
Let's look at the numbers on that. If you got 300 million Americans and you do two tests per week, that's 600 million tests per week if you're testing twice a week. Now, if you tested on Monday and you weren't positive, but you blew it up to your mouth by Tuesday or Wednesday, there is still a chance that you may transmit in those days in between your testing. So the next goal of this society is that they're going to try to have 600 million tests available, probably home tests. And that's going to be both expensive, and then you're going to have to hope that all these people can learn to do it. Eventually, they may get to a daily test. But of course, if you're trying to get 300 million people to daily test COVID, that in their homes, that is going to be quite an achievement, because most of these tests, they are fairly simple. You'd have to train 300 million people to do it. You'd have to have the tests available, and then you'd have to have compliance. That will be quite a feat, but I think it will be, I think that's the direction things are headed.
So some people have said that PCR tests are superior because they're more sensitive. But talk about sensitivity and the rapid test.
I have always told people that PCR is more sensitive. The problem is, if you don't know for 2 or 3 days whether you're positive or not, you're isolating when you're negative, when you don't have it in your mouth. This PCR test can give false positives. And that was done based on the multiplication rate. So the PCR test can give a false number of cases. It can make your caseload seem much higher than what it was, especially if it multiplied. It becomes oversensitive. So it actually records cases that do not exist.
Mark, what percent of PCR tests do you think are false? In other words, if you get a positive PCR test, they say you got COVID, but not every.
Here's what we have to do for liability's sake. Anytime you get a positive PCR, the provider, the physician, or the medical director of that program is obligated to tell you that you are COVID positive until proven otherwise. And that, because it is the most sensitive test, means that you are told that you have it whether you do or not. They can't take that chance that the test was inaccurate, because it would involve far too much liability in the possible 5 or 10 or 20% chance that you might spread it to somebody inadvertently when you were told you didn't have it and your PCR was positive. Now, sometimes we get back tests from the lab that say inconclusive. What does that mean? What that means is they're just throwing us a curveball from the lab saying they don't know what it means. When we get inconclusive, we almost always tell the patient that, hey, you're positive, it just is not real clear, or you're on the backside. Most of the patients are seeing us for COVID testing because they're around somebody who's exposed. So if we get any abnormal PCR, we tell them in all likelihood, you are exposed. And if you're in the same household, there's a good chance they're going to be exposed. So, you know, you have to put that information in together, and you would never want to falsely give false confidence that somebody isn't exposed.
So interesting. A lot of times it's basically, if you have someone that tested positive, then basically assume everyone in the house is positive and don't go out and spread the virus. That's the biggest mistake that people make is, I'm going to wait till I get my test back and I'll just keep
there you go.
I'm going to live my normal life. And then once you find out you test positive for COVID, it's too late and we've spread it.
That's exactly right. And so 2 or 3 days later, we hear back from the lab. We call them up. We send them a confidential information to them. And they say, oh, guess what? It took me 4 days to find out my test was positive. Many of these people need their job. They're living hand to mouth. They live paycheck to paycheck. If they stay out of work based on suspicion, guess what? They can't feed their family. It's difficult for them to buy groceries, keep the lights on. So they're under enormous pressure to show up to work unless they were absolutely sure they were positive. Now, one of the programs that does work, and we're beginning to see this, is that employers absorb the cost of the rapid tests, pay for them for their patients, the rapid tests, whether their employees have insurance or not, the employees absorb that cost, and then the employers pass that on to the government through the CARES Act too. So testing is going to become, testing will explode in the next 90 days to 180 days. You're going to see testing more, more, more.
Mark, with what we've gone over in the past, and they should go back and listen to your programs and everything, that what you have said in the past is that if you have a family where one or more people in the family has a positive COVID test, that you ought to eat after each other, and you should share the food, and you should also take the drug that will get it through your stomach faster.
You can take Pepcid to reduce
Pepcid. And take Pepcid, and then eat after each other, and that would give the other members in the family intestinal immunity, in which case that would make everybody in the family safe quicker.
The sooner, right? Basically, because if you're in a household where somebody has had the virus, and when we say a household, we mean how big's your house. If you're in India, the average square foot of a house in India may just be one room. It may be less than 200 square foot. They have many homes that if one person gets it, everybody gets it. So literally some people in wealthier societies might have a 5,000 square foot home, and the husband and wife live on the opposite ends of the home. But for the most part, anywhere from 30 to 60% of most families will have spread within their family members of the same household. And probably anywhere from 30 to 60% of those people in the same household that breathe the same air will get respiratory exposure. Now, if I can't tell them what to do, because that's what their doctor is supposed to do, but I can tell you what I would do in the circumstances. If I knew that I had a 30% chance of exposure to SARS-CoV-2, I would make sure that I expose that virus to my intestine before I had a fulminant lung infection, or as soon as possible. That's what I do. Now, does that answer your question?
Well, so practically, for a person who wants to know what is the practical advice, you would say, take Pepcid and share food so that all the people are getting it into their intestine. Is that right?
That is one way. And in fact, that is one reason that the death rate is probably continuing to go down. So, you know, what I said at the beginning of the program is not all negative. I expect that the death ratio to case ratio will continue to fall. So that probably by midsummer, the death ratio to case ratio will probably be something like influenza. And even for older people, they will have eaten so much food, even by accident, that had the virus on it, that their immune system, their intestinal immune system, already has a partial defense. And so that you'll see partial immunity spontaneously developing throughout the community, even in high-risk individuals, just because they're accidentally eating food that's exposed to other people. I think one of the things, Wynn, did you ever hear about the meat workers that packed meat in Chicago and it shows up in China and China wants to throw it out?
No, I haven't.
Did you ever hear about that one?
No.
Yes, when a meat worker works on meat that's frozen and he cuts it up all day and he's singing or talking to himself and he's spraying out and he's breathing out COVID over all the beautiful beef, that beef winds up frozen and sent to China. China gets mad because, hey, guess what? Their beef comes in with SARS-CoV-2 on it. The good news is there's no cases of spread from that. There's not been any case in the United States, in the world, where anybody has got respiratory COVID from eating COVID on their food, COVID virus on their food. It is enormously safe to eat COVID virus on your food. Yes.
Okay. So in my research for this program today, a few sentences and I'll let you comment on it. Since uncontrolled spread drives new strains, mass testing with rapid tests would reduce opportunity of the virus to mutate and improve our ability to detect emerging strains quickly. If there isn't already a U.S. strain hiding in plain sight, and we know that that is true now, it's only a matter of time. Rapid antigen tests can reduce transmission, reduce the risk of new strains developing, and make us all safer. Broadening our strategy beyond today's costly, one-dimensional approach will serve us well in future pandemics. Rapid antigen testing can reduce transmission, reduce the risk of new strains developing, and make us all safer. And so that is why we ought to all do what we can to get rapid tests available to the people and spread the knowledge of why they should be doing this at least twice a week, right?
That's exactly right. And you will see that 2021 will be the year of the rapid COVID testing program.
Well, I mean, they're going to model a lot of things that are in Europe, yes. Dr. Mark Hayden, and they're going to look at specifically enough. And that's the key thing, that people are really cognizant that they have it or don't have it and don't go out and spread it. And we'll see what mandatory quarantine will be like as well. It's very, very great information when they can catch up with all the stuff that Dr. Mark has been able to tell about COVID-19 and his research and stuff on your podcast, correct?
Yeah, let me give you that link. And it's a free podcast. It's www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. And you spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N.
Fabulous. All great. Great show today, guys. Take care. And I appreciate everyone stopping by.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Wynn. It's been great to talk to you this morning.
All right, guys. That was a special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction and the Neil Haley Show.